About 16 was the 15 was the hard,
All right, I think we're all good to go, so we'll start the City Council working session for Tuesday, February 11th, 2025. First order of business under topics of discussion is discuss engineer staffing and future public work structure.
Council, I'll kick this off, and of course, Bruce is here to help answer questions as well as Colleen, anything that might come up, but Case had a lot of information in it, so it was quite a bit to unpack, but high level, back in 2022, we saw a retirement of a public works superintendent. At that time, we took Bruce, who was the city engineer at the time, and gave him a dual city engineer public works director role. The idea at the time was to train up other staff to, if it worked out, to promote up and kind of backfill in time. We assumed that would be about a three-year process. And so we're coming up close to that time frame. We didn't build anything into the 2025 budget, so this is kind of the initial heads up. If it works out, we want to look at that for 2026 to finish that transition, where Bruce would go full-time public works director, and then we would replace with a full-time city engineer. The purpose of tonight's case specifically, though, is more of an immediate change that we would like to propose, and that's due to the retirement of Len Linton, who's been with us for 21 or so years. A lot of Len's role is stormwater management type items, reviewing plans related to stormwater, working with the Lower Rum River Watershed Management Organization. And we estimate that about 70-ish% of his time is spent stormwater stuff. And just as rules and regulations change, that role is becoming more and more important and more items that we have to do. And so with his retirement, we're looking to convert that position to full stormwater related work and duties, and then the remaining kind of, lack of a term, normal city engineer related items, those would be absorbed through other staff positions in the department. On a bright note, the stormwater specialist or something along that lines for a title, that role is estimated to be about 18% savings from the current city engineer four wages. And then the other aspect to stormwater related work is we've got the enterprise fund, that's stormwater funds that can be paid towards staff wages to do the work, as well as construction projects and maintenance work and things like that. So from a general fund budget or levy hit, it should be a savings. And then on the flip side, we'll have a position that's largely dedicated almost 100% to the stormwater work. There's a number of plan review documents that they have to do both internally for staff as well as provide information externally to developers and things of that nature. So the Len's retirement is coming in early April. So like I said, tonight we're looking for council's support to convert that role to 100% stormwater and advertise it as such and have someone come on. And then I can't remember the target date, but probably sometime in May or June, if I had to guess right now. And then just another component to that, and you'll see it on the consent agenda this evening. In the meantime, we're looking to work with Bolton and Mink, local engineering firm. They've got offices in Ramsey, and they've done a number of work for us in the past to help bridge that gap between Len's departure and a new person coming on and getting up to speed with Ramsey documents. I think high level that kind of addresses anything. So if there's any questions, happy to answer them. Like I said, Bruce and Colleen are both here to help add to the details that I may not know.
Any questions? Dan?
Thank you, Mr. I'm supposed to be Ryan, Mr. Executive Head of All Administrator. So, specific to the Bruce's position, should we wait on questions about that? That's probably until later time.
I think you're talking to
transition, I think now is fine. I think the brunt of those discussions can come during budget season, but definitely if there's questions now, we can answer them or be ready to answer them when the time comes.
Right. Yeah, and yeah, maybe something to talk about when the time comes more, but just big picture, I mean, do we feel like there's, you know, obviously you're kind of splitting one into two, or do we feel like there's a lot of work that's not getting done because of the having to do the dual role versus, you know, keeping some kind of hybrid of that in the future? Is there a lot of public works work that, you know, like, you just can't quite get to because of that, or?
You can tackle it, or is
that kind of... Or you can wait, we can talk about it in budget season two, if I don't want to put you on the spot.
Here, Councilman, respect. So, short answer, a little bit, yes. I'm only roughly 50% over there 50% of the time, so, you know, it's hard for me to engage with people as readily as I would be able to if I were over there all the time. So the things that I'd be looking forward to getting over there full-time and working on would be, you know, starting to talk with folks and make sure that we're all, you know, between engineering, one of the main reasons I wanted to take the dual role was to have engineering and public works married a little better. And so that when we're designing things, they're also able to be maintained by the staff and house and then our specs, you know, all that stuff. So it works better together.
Okay.
But right now, I mean, I'm the staff over there are very competent. They all know what they're doing. All the supervisors for the three divisions, they know what they're doing. I just don't feel as engaged in public works as I'd like to be, but that's part of the dual role problem.
Sure.
So things are major, are pertinent things not being done? No. Things are being done as needed. I don't think the public or anybody else has seen any difference for the time being.
Sure.
But I would like to be plugged in more and then start looking at things in a little more depth. We have some policies that were just adopted by council, the stormwater management facility policy, the maintenance of those, and then also trail maintenance. So those are some things that we need to start diving into and start figuring out how to implement those. So just some of those things I'd like to be a little more involved.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Council, just kind of on the engineering side, I think I had it in the case, but this plan was really implemented before the influx of the road funding and really getting that aggressive plan going. So, you know, there's when we did it made great sense. And then we added to the workload of the engineering department. So it's kind of a benefit to both sides, both departments.
Anybody else?
One thing I do just want to say publicly thank you, Len, for all his hard work. You know, I've talked to him several times, and I know he used to even volunteer with Robotics Impact, and he's assistant coaches, and he's just given a lot to the community, a lot to the city, and just a really great employee. I've always enjoyed working with him, and I know he did good work, so I hope he enjoys retirement, and yeah, just thank him for his time here.
Anybody else? I guess my one question, this position we're creating, this position exists at other cities, or is this kind of a new position Ramsey's coming up with? Like, what type of candidates are we going to get?
So you're talking about the stormwater specialist position?
Yeah.
So, yes, it does exist at several other cities. In fact, Coon Rapids is hiring, is out, they posted an ad for the same position, mm-hmm. essentially. But they do exist in several cities. I don't know the exact count. I cleaned it on a switch. Search a while ago, but yes, it does exist. Candidates, we're going to kind of keep our eye on Coon Rapids and talk to them and see how many candidates they get. But there should be a number of candidates. I would certainly assume that would be interested in it. So.
And would come to the table with the knowledge they needed to be successful in that role.
Based on what we are seeing, you know, what we need and what we, you know, we looked at Coon Rapids position description, and those are the things I think that, you know, there's a lot of programs out there that offer that kind of training, that kind of education, so
yeah.
Certainly assume we're going to get a number of good candidates.
Okay.
Can I just add, I believe that when I did the comp study, there were 6 or 7 cities that we would compare to that have a stormwater specialist. The position that Coon Rapids actually is hiring for right now is a little bit lower level position. they have a stormwater supervisor that this position they're currently hiring for would report to a stormwater supervisor. So their position's a little bit lower level, more of an assisting role. Mm-hmm. Our position would be a bit higher.
Okay. Chris?
Well, as far as the stormwater specialist, I mean, I think that makes perfect sense. I mean, that was mostly what Len was doing anyway, and now we're actually hiring the right level. So, yep. I mean, I think that makes perfect sense. I guess we're going to talk more, I think, throughout the year, it sounds like, maybe about the public works,
yep.
That part of that job, it sounds like, with the budgeting and stuff.
All right. So it sounds like you have support. Anything else from us on this one?
Nope, just general consensus to move forward is enough. Just kind of a final note, this would fall under the AFSCME union contract, so we do have a estimated pay range in there, and that's, again, we approached that the same way we did all of our other salary studies last year, so no reason to believe that the pay would be much different, if at all, from what's in the case. So we'll come forward with candidate when we get there.
All right. Moving on to the next item, discuss our discussion regarding fire department staffing.
I will kick that one off as well, and similar to the last one, we do have Chief Kohner here to answer any questions that might come up, but ultimately, as noted, we do have one of our full-time positions that's currently on leave. Right now, it's kind of best guess is out until about July 1st. Major impact to that is all of our we have four full-time positions. They all respond to emergency calls and do regular office duties outside of that. So with this position out, the office duties are being absorbed by two other members of the department, and then we're missing that daytime response call. We looked at a couple different options to help restaff or in the interim to get staff back up, and what we're proposing tonight is bring on a full-time position that we plan to start in July, bring that on earlier. As noted, the budget doesn't identify that, but there's reason to believe that we should be fine in the end. We've got 3 to 4 vacancies at some point early in this year in other departments that there will be some savings throughout the city as a whole. Bringing this person on sooner mainly will help with the daytime call responses and make sure our numbers and our response time stays where we would like it. The other component that I don't think we quite have all the information on for tonight, but we might be bringing that back, is, you know, if we continue to see the need, which we expect for daytime response, if we can bring on some additional paid on-call firefighters to help with the daytime calls. There's some details on mainly the retirement benefit aspect that we want to get squared away, and so might come back with that. But positive note, if we do move forward earlier with this fire inspector role, we think that we have some internal paid on-call firefighters that would be interested, so hopefully we can have a pretty quick recruitment process running it internal versus having to post it and collect applications from outside agencies. Touch on everything?
Yes, you did.
Any questions?
Questions from the council? Chris and then Dan.
So I understand that we're down one staff, so that's what this new position would be kind of filling in that time anyway. When we are at full staff, what does a fire inspector do that's not getting done now?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, so the role of a fire inspector is code compliance, code enforcement, existing building inspections, new construction, plan reviews, pre-plans, and then above it. So that was brought forward, you know, last year, showed the need for it, you know, to begin this year. Although if we can move forward with this, it's going to make a direct impact on assisting with responding to calls, and also obviously jump into that fire prevention side as well, but it's won't make a dent at all in losing the other full-time staff member, because of those duties are totally different background, different. The fire department training and the operations side of the fire department. So this position won't be helping to address that loss that may have occurred, but call response will be, make a huge impact.
In addition, it was just this morning during our management meeting, Chief Kohner had mentioned the call volume is up, what did you say, 28%?
27 from this time last year. So
call volume continues to rise and rise. We hear a lot about that in the police department, but not so much on the fire side, but it's definitely a reality.
Yeah, that was my question, actually. How the numbers look this year and over the couple years, been increasing, but you answer my question. Thank you.
Jeff?
So what would be, if we didn't, what does that look like for staff? What does that look like if we waited until later for when this gets figured out, right, this position, and we wait? What does that look like as a what's the word? Yeah, what does that look like on a regular day-to-day basis? I mean, I know we're up 27% according to what you just told us, but what does that really look like as we go into spring, into summer? I mean, fireplaces obviously aren't being used, all the things, so do we get less calls in the summer? Does this question make sense?
I'll see if I can make sense of your question here. There's not a busy time of year for calls. There is no ability to plan for those. So we look at, when I look at calls, do that periodically on a monthly basis, quarterly, try to adjust our paid on call according to those increases. We've had a double digit increases for the last 9 years. Last year as a total was 16% again. As I just said, we're at 27. If we're waiting on this person for July, that just really taxes the remainder of our current full-time staff, because now we're falling behind on our department training and just the operations of the fire department are not being addressed. So because that staff is out taking home calls.
Does that answer your question?
No questions. Fully stand behind this. I think we should bring someone on as soon as we can. I think another thought here is that a lot of our calls are probably also medical. So there's not, a time of year that medicals necessarily happen more than others. And we should also, in the larger range, be looking at making sure that this growth is being addressed in the future by adding bunks to our stations, trying to add more full-time fire department staff, and looking at other ways that we can help you guys.
Any other questions or comments on this? Do you have anything? Okay. Yeah, I understand the financial impact is we want to lessen that as much as possible. But I feel like when we have known commodities, current paid on call staff, that could step into that position. It's always good to capture that while we have it, instead of pushing it down the road and maybe losing some interest. And then I just think with calls for services going up, it's hard to argue against that. And then I feel like with the, like you said, the reduction in staff that we've had, missing positions, the money is there. We just have to basically quantify it and figure out the number that's we've actually saved, being down a few employees. So I think it's probably going to end up being cost neutral and a little increased productivity and responsiveness. So I guess I'd be for it.
I think we also have to think about the culture of it being a mostly paid-on-call department. So we're putting a lot of stress on our folks that are paid-on-call that have full-time jobs during the day right now. And so if we want to keep being able to be cost-effective in the city by having this kind of response, a paid-on-call response instead of a full-time body, then we need to make sure that we're making it work the best we can for those folks, and also our citizens, obviously, keeping their safety in mind.
Okay.
do we have consensus to move forward?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Item 3, council member request for agenda items.
You'll get to hear from me a lot tonight.
Yes.
So this one is just, you know, there's, again, I joke, 3.5 new council members, Ryan being on a couple of years ago, but back on now. So let's, the idea behind this is, you know, we've tackled a number of items that have been on our work session list, and it looks like it's getting pretty thin. Don't hesitate, it will fill up, I promise you that, but you know, you guys are obviously going to have some ideas or initiatives that you want to bring forward on the council, and this idea on, let's set how council members can get stuff on the agenda helps, number one, staff prepare cases, allow staff to have enough time to prepare cases, have good information in there, and ultimately you guys have enough time, albeit I still question how you guys can review 400 plus pages of packets in a few days, but I'm not offering to get them out earlier. But just, you know, making sure that we all have enough time to have a good, solid case put together. You guys have good information. We don't really have a written policy per se. If we want this to turn into a policy, it's something we definitely can. But at a minimum, I'd like just, you know, council be on the same page on, hey, you guys have something you want to talk about. When does that occur? How much time does staff have to put that together? We've got other meetings and things of that nature that get scheduled, so can't always just drop what we're doing and get something put together in a day, but looking to have that conversation and see where we go from there. So like I said, in the case, historically we've kind of run on the either the mayor or two other council members can request items get added, and then, you know, from a staff standpoint, we try to prioritize what's time sensitive, what can wait, and things of that nature. So looking for some guidance on what you as a group would like to see. Maybe we start there. Sure. How would you guys as a council like to see stuff added, and what number of council members need to support it, so staff's not going down a rabbit hole and then come and most of you say, well, what were we doing? So
yeah. Dan, why don't you lead us off?
So I'd be curious to say a couple things. So there's not, it's not in the, it's not in any policy or anything? Like how many, I thought I read that somewhere that it was county council members to add something to the agenda. Maybe it's just like an unofficial policy in a handbook or something.
Yeah, it's just been a kind of
past
a general practice
to have it be two.
The charter doesn't have anything like that, that kind of stuff.
No, the charter just calls on calling special meetings.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, I guess I personally like how it is right now. You know, maybe some councils might utilize it more than others, but I noticed that there are sometimes time-sensitive things, and I think, you know, there's two council members that want to have it on there. I think that's a fair situation. I think it should be used sparingly, and you know, that's up for discussion whether or not it all was or wasn't. That's not necessarily what I'm here to discuss, but I think some specific examples with residents, you know, they're trying to, you know, maybe like, I don't know if the driveway is a good example, but residents that have something that's kind of time sensitive that they want to, I want to hear the whole council's input on, you know, and hear feedback on, you know, should we support this or not. I think there are times when, although it's very, it should be very rare, and it's, I don't mean to put extra burden on you, that there are times where we need to say, you know, maybe Friday there's something we're adding, or hopefully not Monday, but I mean, even Monday, if it's urgent enough, you know, that we might add it. So, I don't know if you put some kind of a number of times limit or something, but I like the ability to have that, to have two people and have it not really a time limit. I think if we see it being abused, maybe we can bring it up again and discuss it, but I think kind of leave it as is right now for myself. But.
Yeah.
I will note, staff would never recommend that at least four of you shoot off an email saying let's add this, because that would not be good.
Right.
There you go. You can stop.
I have some thoughts, but do we have anybody else that wants to go first?
I'm fine with the rule as it is right now. I think that works.
Chris?
Well, we're talking about this because of specific things that have happened in the fairly recent past. That, you know, yeah, we have a policy that, you know, it should be at least a week in advance, so it gives us all time to get it on the agenda, gives staff a chance to put an agenda together for it, and it gives us all time to think about it, read about it, and understand. We've literally had cases where I'm like, I don't understand the facts of what we're even talking about because it's not in the case. And two council members are very up to speed on it because they've already done all their work and being smart. And literally, you're asking me to make a decision on something I didn't even understand what the facts are. That's an abuse, I think. So, I mean, nothing that Mr. Hagan's saying here is trying to limit what we can talk about. It's just like the timelines. And talking about that something should have to be put on Friday or Monday, it's that important. I mean, there's emergency procedures already, and I would not be supporting that. I mean, I've had problems with a few specific cases in the past where that were thrown together at the last minute, and I'd like to see that avoided.
So, what's your suggestion for time frame?
Well, at the very, very least, it has to make the agenda when it's published.
Gotcha.
Now, that's me speaking for me to be prepared. I think staff has a kind of a different requirement because for them to be prepared, you know, they need some lead time to publish the agenda. But I would say for me, and I'm not speaking for all of you, but as a council member, it has to be printed on or published on our agenda. And then I guess I would ask staff what you need, what do you need before that to make sure that it's published on the agenda? And that would be my suggestion, whatever staff's answer is.
Yeah, I think to put, you know, like you said, depending on the topic, it can vary, but to get decent information, if it's a complex topic or there's a lot of research that's done, I think to get decent information to at least get the thoughts and discussion started at council, you know, if we could have, you know, we publish packets on Thursday, you know, if we could have that whole week of packet week, so 4 days, I think we could, for the vast majority of cases, have either a case that you're 100% prepared and have all the information to make a decision, or really good starting information. From you know, kind of to revert back a little bit, you know, if you want to have an early conversation on council and you guys say, yes, staff, that's a good use of your time to start gathering this information, it'd be the meeting before, but I don't know if that's truly that realistic. So if you're asking me, I would say, you know, Monday morning, you got an email off to me saying, hey, I'd like this topic, however many council members you guys choose, and then I can work with other staff that would be putting together that information. And
to clarify, I'm sorry, the Monday before?
What Monday?
Monday of packet week, so, you know.
So it would have been last Monday then?
Yeah, last Monday for tonight's meeting, because that would give us four days to put it together. Ideally, most of our council cases are getting wrapped up by about noon on Thursdays, sometimes a little bit later, but.
Kirsten? I agree with Chris. I think there's nothing that's like so urgent that it needs to go on that quickly without people being able to have time to prepare, including the staff. And if there is some sort of special thing that does become emergent, I think we would work with staff to make sure that people are caught up to speed quickly on that instead of surprising people, because I think it's dangerous and unfair to surprise not only like the council members but the staff. So if we're talking historically, what's happened?
I understand where Chris and Kirsten, where you're coming from. I think putting something on the agenda at the last minute is a tool that the city council has. It is not a wise option to wield very often, and I think it does do a disservice to other council members, to the residents, to our city staff at times. So I've seen it misused. You could argue whether or not I've misused it at the time or at certain times, but what I would say is it's a tool that we have as elected representatives to bring something in front of the city if we need to, if there's some sort of emergency or something happened that needs to be addressed urgently. In the past, when I have brought something on, I took that burden upon myself as far as doing the research, putting the information together, and submitting it. I think what we have to remember is if you do something last minute and you don't put any effort into it, you're going to have a very weak case, and it's going to be very hard. It's going to create a lot of chaos. So I would caution against doing it. I don't think it's a great idea. I think a lot of what Chris said is accurate. However, limiting the council to not exercising that option, I would not be in favor of. So that's kind of where I'm at. Michael?
Thank you. I agree with what you're saying, and I think using the four-day window as a, not a hard and fast rule, but as a strongly suggested guideline is, and whenever possible, given the 4 days, I think we can behave ourselves and comply with that the vast majority of the time.
I also think when council members have misused it in the past, the ability for other council members to make that apparent has been exercised, and I fully agree with that. If you put something on the council session last minute, it's unclear, you don't even know what you're asking for, and it creates a bit of a circus. I think it's a good thing that council members call that out and say, this was not done correctly, this is doing a disservice to the residents and the council members. So I think when it has been misused, it didn't go unnoticed, so there is kind of a remedy for that. I would strongly discourage it. I also just don't want to take that away from the council as an option. There has been historical things that have happened where, you know, you don't want to wait 2 weeks to bring something to the attention of the public or to other council members or even make decisions on it. So, yeah, that's kind of where I fall. Shannon?
Help me understand what... Help me with the history of what you're talking about, that you decided that you needed to abruptly throw in a topic 12 minutes before game time, whatever this is. Like, what on earth, and I guess I feel if that were something that happened during my term, I would feel very, especially not knowing anything about it, not having the time to research it, I would feel very, very disrespected as a council member to go, hold on, what fire is this? And I don't have time to research it. So
yeah.
Can you tell me more about why?
I'll give you an example of one that I deemed was important and maybe an example of one that was not important, as
okay.
To kind of contrast. So when I got elected, obviously we had an executive order that came down about police enforcing mask mandates. And for me at that time, and still currently, I felt that that was unjust. And I felt that that was a... unjust executive order that put legal restrictions on residents. So waiting 2 weeks to make that case was two additional weeks of residents going, the residents that had a problem with it, that I agreed with, that sent me messages, their voices going unheard. So waiting 2 weeks for that, I didn't think was appropriate. If it's an unjust law or executive order or something, I mean, we could do this on both sides of the aisle. Things could come down instantly from either side that we disagree with, whether it's national or state. I think saying, well, we have to wait 2 weeks for this perceived wrong or right course of action to play through so that way we can present something, I think would be unfair. When I brought that forward, I did write out my own case. I had my own references, talked about due process, talked about, sanctuary cities and other cities decriminalizing specific behaviors, even though there was not legislation to support it. So when I brought it forward, I took it upon myself to have some sort of framework for discussion. I think that's appropriate. Throwing something on there just saying, we're not going to do this and just be a free-for-all, I would say was unimportant. Other issues, maybe if there's something regarding hiring an on-call firefighter, and all of a sudden you just have this really strong opinion on that, and you're just going to throw it on the council without any, or on the agenda without any background, and then go to our fire chief and say, can you explain this? And they have
no idea the context of the question, that does a disservice to other people. So I think it should be used seldomly, but I think there are incidences that may occur where you may need to use that as a representative of the residents. Does that, answer your question?
Thank you. Give an example too if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Very high level, but me and another council member and myself were meeting with some city staff and some residents that were complaining about some certain things. And I was really like, I really want to hear the whole council. It's like, we're only two people. We can't really decide this. And we had multiple things about some things. And so I wanted to bring it up at a work session and just say, can we hear what other people, I want to hear other people's views on this because it's affecting the resident right now. I mean, we could just tell them to wait 2 weeks, but I'm like, it's hot right now. Why don't we just talk about it? So then, you know, I don't even know the specifics of like if I, how many days it was, but can we talk about this in the next work session so we can get everyone's input on it? Because it was kind of an issue that popped up, and it was hot, and the residents were upset, and two council members can't obviously make those decisions. That was just something that came up. And that's once in my how many years I've been here, right? So it's not like it's a often thing, but I just felt in that time I really would want to hear more people's, and just the two of us that were meeting with them, feedback.
I'll go with Shannon, then Kirsten.
So what is the safeguards that we're allowed to use if we have a situation where a council member or mayor bring on that last minute thing? Can we, as a rest of the body, vote going, no, we're moving this at the time of the subject?
Yeah, you guys really police yourselves when it comes to that stuff. If you don't feel like you have the information to make an informed decision, that's on you guys as a body to determine. From a staff perspective, you know, some challenges that we've found, and I'll say we, but you know, it tends to fall on one or two staff people, is kind of back to what Ryan was saying, is if you're presenting something, he likes to have a lot of information already done, the homework done. That's helpful, especially if it's a very, very last minute ad, where we've had it in the past where, hey, I want this topic, and there's not a lot of direction. So, you know, if I'm putting together a case, you know, I don't want to put something together and assume that I know what the council member's thinking or what have you. So, you know, there's been times where it's, okay, I've put together information, sent it off, and am I on the right page? You know, or am I heading in the right direction of what you're thinking? Because we don't want to bring something forward and all of you go, no, that's completely wrong direction. So that's where the extra time helps, especially if we need to go back and if staff's doing more of the research or finding more of the information, that's where the more time helps on our end.
I'll get to you just 1 second. Yeah, another example, I think this has happened in the past, where there's like a line item in the budget that's a little ambiguous and it gets thrown on. Can you explain this line item? Well, it's ambiguous because maybe it's a miscellaneous category. So then you're going to the staff saying, what does this represent? And now instead of them having the time to go look through that line item and figure out everything, now they're trying to answer questions in the middle of a live council meeting. So that'd be another example of something that we probably, that could wait maybe, and we don't necessarily want to do. And then real quick before I get to Kirsten, I think the other important thing is for legal too. There's a lot of stuff that our city attorney may need to weigh in on, and if we blindside with something without enough preparation, it can maybe cause some issues or, you know, not be as polite to spring that on. So once again, I'll say I think it should be a tool, but one that we should be very cautious of using. Kirsten?
My original comment was in line with Shanna. What is the remedy for someone bringing something up that we just don't feel like it's necessary at the moment, and sounds like we're going to have to decide as a group to say no. But are we going to like quantify what that looks like? Do we need to have more than one voice that says no? Are we going to say it's not unanimous? Then we hold, like, what do we want that to look like? And, you know, I'm not like opposed to us keeping it in. I'm still more connected with Chris on this because I still haven't heard anything that I personally think sounds emergent to bring up. So I still am leaning towards let's have a deadline, but I'm not hard no.
Chris, are you going to talk about Robert's Rules of Order?
Well, I was just going to say, we have the option of not approving the budget, or the agenda. So, I mean, in our current situation, two council members can put it on the agenda, but that doesn't mean it's approved. So we could not approve. If it was that egregious, we could not approve that agenda the way it says.
Or you could motion to amend the agenda and then have it removed. Michael?
I'll make a motion to table it until further.
Right. Yeah. So there are parliamentary options to remove something that has been put on if the majority of the council doesn't agree with it. And then I think even you can motion to appeal the decision of the chair if I say something that's out of line or I try to block it. So there's lots of stuff. Eric and then Dan.
Does this go along the same lines as anything on the consent agenda? Like pulling stuff off the consent agenda? Do we need ahead of time? Because we should all be seeing this on Thursday and even go through the consent agenda to make sure we're voting against things we should know about. So if we want to pull something off the consent agenda, is there a deadline on that? Or is it, I think, 24 hours, I think, is a general option on that one?
To pull something from consent isn't quite as crucial for the timing. Ideally, yeah, the Monday of a meeting week would be good, just in case, depending on the questions, that I need to have other staff there, because like tonight you'll see most of staff aren't going to be there because the agenda's not doesn't need them there. So consent tends to be more routine. I believe it's going to be not a rubber stamp but a unanimous vote, but if there's questions, I want to make sure that the right staff are there to answer.
And to go along with like not getting rid of, I think that, like you said, it's a tool. It's like if the senator or House representatives got rid of filibustering. You know, it's a tool to be used at some points when you do need it, and infrequent as possible, rare on occasion, but as a tool that we could use if need be. Like you said, we can table things, we can move things.
But,
so I'd like to have I'd like to, instead of taking the hammer out of my toolkit, I'd like to keep it in there.
Dan and Chris, I think Dan was first, but Chris was vehemently raising his hand.
I just wasn't sure that you had acknowledged me.
I did.
Okay.
So Dan, we'll go Dan.
I acknowledge you too, Chris.
Thank you. Not really.
So I guess I would be a little leery about, I've always kind of viewed it, I guess, and maybe I haven't really thought through it, of if two people agree it should be on the agenda, then then when we approve the agenda, we can't just strip it off, because I think we're going to have a representative democracy of, you know, let's say regardless of what side, or if there are sides, whatever, one group, you know, really wants certain things, and maybe these two wards, you know, they feel like their issues aren't being discussed or taken account of because they're more rural or they're more than my ward, more the businesses are. So if, you know, we're given the power of, you know, certain areas to keep anything coming on the agenda that they might want to discuss, that would be troublesome to me. And I think if two council members, you know, at large or two wards, whatever, want to have something on, then I think it should be kept on. Whether or not we could table it or something, I guess, but just to make sure that all residents, you know, have a voice, not just if there ever came to be a majority on some issue, they'll try to silence the defector or something.
Chris and then Kirsten.
Interesting comment, because I was going to kind of make the same opposite argument. If you wait and add it at the last minute, you aren't doing a service for our residents, because they don't know what was on the agenda. They haven't had the ability to see. Maybe they feel strongly one way or the other, and they don't have the ability to know what we're about to discuss. They haven't seen the facts that were going to be presented, and that's not been discussed here, and that's kind of it's the same point, but the exact opposite of what you were just saying. But I think that's really important, is that, you know, our resident, again, we talk about disservice of specific people, our residents in general don't have the ability to know that we were going to discuss something. And you brought up consent agenda. At least that case is there. All the information is there. And we can all pull a case anytime we want. But I would just think, like as Mr. Hagan said, give them a heads up is always the nice thing to do. I mean, if you think you're going to pull it, let them know ahead of time, you know. But
Kirsten?
I agree with Chris on his statement. But I also want to speak to Dan's statement that I don't think that we should be like pulling it and saying it's to never be discussed. I think it's just being like you said, to table, you know, and so we can make sure that, you know, there's folks in the room that felt it was really timely, but we just didn't have enough information. So let's make sure we try and make it urgent moving forward. So not to totally like remove it and say like it's not to be had at all. So I agree with you.
I also think if you were to put it on last minute without a supporting document, then the residents didn't have anything to see in the first place. If you create supporting documents and have it added, at least then the and then we all veto you and table it, at least the residents can look through that. And I mean, I personally, if I wanted to throw something and everybody here blocked me, it doesn't stop us from talking to residents or posting about it or putting it on our website or newsletter and saying, this is what I tried to do and our fellow council members blocked it. So I think it's just going back to kind of parliamentary procedure, Robert's Rules of Order. Like, I think blocking something off the agenda, even if two people want it on there, still fits within that theme because it still is a majority vote overriding a minority vote. So it still falls within that same principle. Chris?
Well, and I don't want anything that I'm saying to be perceived that I'm trying to avoid talking about things. Mm-hmm. I'm talking timing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The adding at the last second, yeah. minute. Yeah. That's the topic, not having things talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Thank you. I agree with that, and I think it's unwise and just bad policy to try to make decisions on something where you don't have the wealth of information that's available. And if the time is too short and there's no substance to what's been added, then trying to make things, you know, make decisions on something where you don't really have the information, that's not a good way to operate.
So for consensus, let's tackle this one thing at a time. Do we all agree that two council members should be able to add something to the agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
One mayor, two? Is that?
This is going to be the next question. I don't mind
two mayors.
Two mayors?
Yeah. Two mayors. You
gotta get social. I don't mind
present, past.
getting somebody else on my team, but I don't know if it's necessary. So do we still want the mayor to be just the one, or should the mayor have to bring somebody else on? Michael.
I would assume that the mayor being a standalone works because the mayor is probably more privy to some things, you know, has just more exchange with staff and whatnot. So there may be an occasion where you go, let's get this in.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any need to bring in a second voice if that's the situation. However, it would be your call to, if you wanted to bring someone else in.
Dan?
I think, right. I guess I would agree with the opposite. You know, since we're a weak mayor system, you know, the mayor doesn't have really any more authority than signing some documents and being a great figurehead guy or whatever, or gala person, whatever. So I think keeping the two consistent would be consistent, just like the at-large, you know, would be. I say that publicly, but I mean.
Secretly, you should see the text. No, and I personally don't have any dog in this fight because I'll be the mayor for a certain amount of time and then I won't. So whatever we're deciding now is going to be hopefully best practices long term and affect people, so we should make the best decision for the city long term versus...
You're not going to ban future elections and just stay mayor? I thought you were.
No, we'll see. No. Kirsten, you know.
I was just going to say I had the same thought that Dan did, but I also have no preference. Like, it for me, you bring it up and we can still say no, so I don't care. You know, or it would be nice maybe, because I do think that most often you probably have the same information as us because of what Dan pointed out. So either way, to me, it doesn't matter.
I appreciate what you're saying, Michael, but I probably actually, I tell people I do appreciate that we have a weak mayor system. And the mayor being kind of the figurehead, emceeing the meetings, I think is, you need somebody to do it, but I don't mind. I think it's probably a good idea to have at least somebody to bounce it off on, and if there's six other council members that you can't find any agreement with, maybe it's a waste of people's time. So I would be okay giving the same limitations to the mayor as the council members. All right, so we got the individuals, and then going into the amount of time that needs to be in place for putting something on the agenda. Sounds like we have some people that are interested in it being maybe the Monday before the Tuesday. So what is that? Is that 8 days? 8 days out? Monday to Monday plus a day of Tuesday, so 8 days out. And then others believe being able to put it on the last minute is a tool that should not be misused. So thinks we should do 8 days out.
And we have an emergency procedure or whatever that's already in place or whatever.
Can you talk about that emergency procedure?
Yeah, so statute identifies when emergency meetings can occur, which then don't have to meet the 3-day noticing guidelines. If you call emergency meeting, it has to be very topic specific. And it is a little bit flexible on what basically the council has to deem it an emergency, but most examples are natural disasters. You know, tornado rips through Ramsey and we need to spend a bunch of money really fast with public works and fire and police to start addressing that. So that's that. You know, other things that you could call an emergency are more just those super time sensitive items.
Sure.
And I'll just want to preface, I felt like this discussion morphed a little bit beyond what I thought it was going to. And so again, from a staff level, you know, I want you guys to understand what it takes on our end to put together good information. And I think if we have an idea that Monday, we can have a very solid case. Not saying we can't put something worth reviewing together in a shorter time period, but if you've ever looked at past agendas, there are times where it's like council member so-and-so and so-and-so request this item, and there's very little, and that's largely due to the timing, and that's where it comes to policing yourself and, you know, can yell at each other and things of that nature. But does that answer kind of
I think you highlighted something that's important. I think maybe we're all getting a little too far ahead of ourselves, myself included. We, being the working session, just a simple general consensus, that's not enough to limit what we've done in the past, right? So if four of us say, yeah, it needs to be 8 days prior, does that actually limit what the council can do? Is that, that's not a...
Bylaw, no.
Right, so
I mean, you guys can make a motion to add something to the agenda the night of, unbeknownst to anyone else. And
right.
If it gets a second and approved, I mean, we're running with it, but... Again, my idea with this case is more an understanding of how do we get good cases prepared.
So maybe getting consensus on that doesn't even make sense because there's not a lot of teeth that can be held at that.
I'd much prefer a quality product from the staff. And if that takes a Monday, then that works.
So I think we're all just doing a blood oath right now that we're not going to be rats, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I will not be doing a blood oath. But I will... like I said, if there was a reason to do it, I would look for a fellow council member and I would make sure that whatever was presented is presented properly. So, once again, I don't want to take that tool away from any of you and I don't want to take it away from myself. So, any further discussion on this?
A variation on a theme here. We're talking about agendas. Would this be a time that we could talk about putting the minutes back under consent?
Do you want to give some context? And I mean, this is a recent change.
It was, yeah, very recent. I mean, until, I don't even know, November, maybe?
It was longer than that. Last year at some point.
Later in the year. But until then, I think always approving minutes was just under the consent. It was just part of our consent agenda that it rarely requires discussion, rarely requires whatever. People now can watch the video or read the minutes if they want. So it was moved to its own item, its own agenda item. Like if you look at our agenda, one of the first things is approving the minutes. It doesn't have to be that way. It could just, it has and had always been under the consent agenda.
So why was it voted to outside of the consent agenda? Why was it put back to a traditional?
I believe the argument that was made was that it's just more transparency and that people can see how they vote. I also think maybe previous councils pulled the minutes from the consent agenda maybe more than average.
I'm sorry. If there was anything you would have wanted to correct or change, you pull it and then it's no longer in the consent and then we make that change. That it said something wrong and you correct it and then we fix it. But...
Go ahead.
What kind of things have been, help me with the history here, didn't watch the TV enough, I guess.
The other idea behind it, too, was to abstain. If they missed that meeting, they're not voting on minutes
right.
that they weren't at the meeting for. But real life example that four of you saw, you approved minutes from the December meeting, even though you weren't on council and things of that nature. So I think that was the one of the bigger reasons behind pulling it, is so there could be some abstaining votes.
I'd like to ask Marina not to bring up last minute things like this that weren't on the agenda. I'm kidding, buddy. I'm teasing you. Okay.
We could make it a discussion in a whole
That's
other time.
That's
fine.
It's not emergency.
Was that it?
That's how I
just a really funny
just skewer me and
just
a
zinger.
Long.
Just a zinger.
Eric. If you've ever spent any time on planning commission between Gary Vasco and Ray Bauer, they are really good at reviewing the video. They're really good at re-reviewing the minutes and actually throwing, like, this is wrong here, you have the wrong punctuation. That's one of the things that they do too. So, like, that happens also.
Which we can fix punctuation without council vote on that, just for the record.
Don't take Gary's power away.
Do we want to continue talking about this, Chris, or do we want to ruminate on this for a little bit and bring it back for future discussion?
I'd like to move it back. If we could make that decision now, that would be fine with me. If you want us to discuss it more at a different time, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, do you want other cities to do? Or what does PAC even do, Ryan?
It varies from city to city. So,
different.
Yeah. Okay. Other organizations that I've been part of, I've seen it both. PACT does do the minutes during the consent agenda.
Yeah, I guess I feel pretty neutral either way. And one thing I've always learned with PACT time too is, you know, if you find something, you know, you're reading through, just let them know ahead of time and they'll correct it before, you know, and can you send that out and let people know of a change or something? Or how does that? Because I guess if it changes last minute, we should know about it too, though.
Yeah, so we have a third party put the minutes together, and what we've been seeing is we don't get those until like Wednesday. So we were sending them out ahead of time, but it really, 24 hours later, you guys were getting it as part of the packet anyway. So if you guys see an error in it, definitely send it off to staff and we can get that adjusted and updated. And
I'm just thinking for something more controversial maybe. I didn't say this, but everyone else thinks they did or something, or like, I'm just kind of changing my own mind. Originally I was saying send stuff ahead of time, but now I'm thinking about it. I guess we should be aware of changes, and if you just change it within, you know, I might read the minutes on Monday, and then they change Tuesday because we sent a change. You know what I mean? Like, how would you want to handle changes so that everyone's aware of?
We're morphing. if it's a quick adjustment, my guidance actually has been just to bring it up in the meeting.
Sure.
If it's a sentence or two that needs to be adjusted, that's easy enough to approve amended minutes, and we'll correct it after the fact. If it's more substantive, bigger, we can always just pull the minutes and get them adjusted and bring back at a different meeting.
So I think maybe on this one, let's all think about it. We had a previous council that put this in place. We may not agree with it. Current council members that were on that council may have disagreed with it, but give it some thought. We'll add it to the working session. Future topics, and hopefully we can go through real quick. Everybody comes and we can do a quick vote whether it's a great idea or not. Dan?
Yeah, well, for future topics, agenda thing you can throw in there too. I think it's minor, but it's interesting. Like, we do, you know, three parts of the agenda before we approve it. I always think approving the agenda should be first and then we do the rest, but I don't, it doesn't really matter, honestly. But it's just something that I don't know.
I tend to agree with you, to be honest, but we'll put an agenda order discussion on a future meeting.
Sure.
Well, Anoka takes attendance also, which seems really silly because you're all sitting there looking at each other so you can see who is there, but yet you still have to do attendance.
Yes, I've seen that. All right. So, do you have something before we move on?
When do we want to start talking about other things that we want to talk about? Or were people just talking about things they want to talk about before we were supposed to talk about things?
They were talking about things that they want to talk about that was kind of associated with the thing we're currently talking about. But to talk about things that we want to talk about.
So just breaking all the rules we just made. So sorry.
Let's get through with what we're supposed to talk about, and then we'll see if we have some
future topics. Yeah.
under
okay.
future.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Oh, you're good. I agree with you.
Next one, Councilmember Meals.
Here's an example.
This is practically begging.
Here's an example of.
No, this is a good example. We gave plenty of notice, but Member Riley, I think, has a more history on this. But since Iowa came on in 2019, and I know long before that, they did provide meals, and as the case we talked about, has changed. It used to be for all the staff and everyone that came, kind of then just for the council members. Nothing too big or fancy, but it's just nice. Then you have to worry about. Because I stop work right at 5 and trying to get here by 5:30 and things, it's nice to have food, and I enjoy food, if you can't tell, so that's, I think it'd be nice to bring it back. I'll be the one to admit that I voted against it last year, trying to think of other ways we could reduce the budget, but the more I think about it, I think it helps us work better, and I think it would be beneficial to bring it back.
All right, pretty straightforward.
I had emailed Brian about this earlier, but I think I miscommunicated, but I'm wondering where would the proposed money come from? I understand we were not budgeted for it this year, but where were we proposing it would come from now?
So a canned answer is if you guys really want it, we'll find the money. I'd say that a little bit jokingly, but that's the reality. Our budget is very, very large, and $4,000 that we had in the budget and was eliminated, we can find $30,000 to hire a firefighter earlier. I would really hope we could find $4,000 if you guys want to bring meals back.
Historically, the meals were provided by Ramsey restaurants.
We try to. We really attempt to order from someplace that will deliver, so we're mm-hmm. not taking staff time and keeping staff here longer so you guys have a hotter meal. But yes, we try to order from Ramsey businesses if we can. And it's kind of varied. And I did talk to the staff that would do the ordering. I said, if they come back, let's set a menu so you know every first Tuesday of the first quarter you're going to get pizza. First Tuesday of the second quarter you're going to get pizza. So it eliminates the what should we order for them this time. If there are any Councilmember Howell, no cheese or dairy or something, so we'd order a salad.
Throw it out there for everybody.
We can accommodate that. It's a little bit more work, but nothing that we'll say no to. So,
just a preference.
We'll create you a dinner menu, just like you had in school for your lunch menu.
Wait,
you
the
pizza? It, bring your
the milk
whole lunch.
No milk. Cut the crust off and everything. Cut the egg.
Oh, that's hilarious. Can you take the crust off?
Does how do we feel about this? You good with meals? What else do we have? So it should be a quick one. 2, 3. We have a 4th.
Michael's getting strong.
I'm not going to say no because I'm fat, but I'm also not going to say yes because I feel like I shouldn't say yes to something that wasn't budgeted for. But I also like food, so I just, I'm on your team, Dan, but I also...
Would it help to know what we've historically ordered?
No. That makes it harder for me to make a decision because then I'm excited by it,
Oh, you cracked me up, right?
I just want you guys to have the best information to make the best decision.
And it was a group, right? So we had, I didn't even know the name of the subs. We had to look them up, but man, it was there.
Okay. All right, we have 3. Anybody else? Shanna, what's your opinion?
I'm down. No. We've already taken it off the budget. Obviously, the person that decided who's bringing this up is, no offense, Dan, but you said, hey, no, I don't need the meal, and now you're the one that's bringing it back up. Hey, I need another $4,000 to bring
really
meals
selfish.
Back. It, and I understand meal planning is a challenge for every single household, every single human being. However, if you had not voted yes to get rid of it, I would be more sympathetic to saying, yes, let's get you your meals back.
I respect that totally.
However,
that's okay.
And then we're eating from the staff because staff isn't eating. So then I'm like, I wouldn't want to eat in front of people that aren't eating.
I think they get
that's just a personal.
Hey, Brian.
Michael?
I don't think so.
Hey, good. I voted against it. I brought it up before. It was a money-saving thing, not that it's a lot of money, but the other personal thing is I'm not a fan of eating on camera. But my suggestion is we address this in the budget considerations and maybe bring it back next year.
All right, so I would also agree with that. I think if we're going to do it, we should focus on making sure it's Ramsey restaurants so we can support our local restaurants. But it's something we should do in the next budget. So sounds like that's important.
Maybe we could take a potluck.
Dan, I'm still with you.
I like the potluck. Let's all bring the table.
Yeah. On that one. Who wants to take on
no
next?
No meals for now.
No meals for now. Oh, and I guess before we move on, the staff in the past when I was on had access to the meals. So I feel like that's still fair. I feel like it is weird to have two different tiers of whatever. So if we're going to spend $4,000, I feel like, didn't that include?
Four was just the council. And truthfully, I surveyed staff and like, because I noticed most of staff, they weren't eating.
Yeah.
If we did, it was a quick grab a bite between the meetings,
yeah,
if there was time. But, yeah, staff was like, no, I tend not to. We tend to talk a lot, so to eat and talk and engage is difficult. So,
okay.
I mean, if you guys want to add to it in next year's budget and include for staff, we can do that. But we won't think negatively if it doesn't make it in there either.
Okay. All right, so next year. Got some time here. Minnesota State flag on Ramsey-owned public property. So it was kind of brought forward by Eric.
Want me to talk on
it? Yeah, I think I addressed kind of historically what happened with Ramsey specifically, so I turned it over to...
Yeah, I was like kind of like, why do we have the current one up there? But then I researched and said, you don't have to. So I was like, okay, if we don't have to, conversations with somebody else, and we don't even have a Ramsey flag. That'd be a nice thing to do for the community, to have the kids or people involved make ourselves a Ramsey flag, make it a contest. There's only, what, four places we have a flag hanging up?
It's four or five.
Four or five, PW, here, fire station, stuff like that. Just like, would we want to do something like that, a community involvement?
So is the nexus of this item to discuss the state flag, the proposed Ramsey flag, or both? Because
I'd rather discuss if we want to have a Ramsey flag. I think that's much more of a uniting thing for now.
Okay, does anyone feel stronger either? Kirsten.
Okay, strongly is not the best term here, but my thought is
true.
Not just for my own feeling, not for you. Like, if you get, sorry. But I just think, I emailed Brian about this earlier. I asked if we still kept the new state flags on site and didn't throw them away, that we, if we needed to repurchase them, if we were to decide to fly those, he said we still have them. My thought is if we change it, we go to the new one. If we don't change it, I don't care. I just want to make sure that we are spending time that's worth spending time.
All right.
Yeah, so and I was part of the, when it was brought up, you know, I supported using the old flags. You know, I just personally, from residents I've heard as well, you know, we got the one email from resident, but I have others that messaged me on Facebook, just they feel it's important, and the way that they didn't think it was fair necessarily how the way new flag was created and didn't get full say in things, but so they would like to see the old one, so I'd still support that, leaving the old one up. As for a city flag, I guess I'm kind of neutral. I think that might have actually been a kind of cool thing for our anniversary last year to do. I'm not actually against it, but I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think we could tie to something maybe, but I guess I'm not super excited about it either. Just kind of, you know.
Yeah, it was just a thought.
Something
that would unite us as a city, and then find out we don't have one. Like, all cities seem to have one. You know, Chicago has one. Right, I know they have something. Big pumpkin on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Big cool hats.
Big cool hats.
Kristen and Kirsten.
Well, when we discussed this before, I had just suggested using the Happy Days flag or the Happy Days symbol on a flag.
Oh.
That was my version of a city flag.
Is that the
And as far as the old versus the new, I would vote for probably not between the two. But
I'm okay keeping the old flag. I don't care really either way, but no reason to rush to change if we don't have to.
As far as the city flag, if there's an opportunity for a staff member that wants to organize something, then we do like a photo contest if we could do something like that. I mean, we could budget for it next year. I mean, you probably get a custom-made flag for $100.
With Ryan's face on it?
So don't do that to the so maybe we do want to give direction to entertain the idea and come back with a...
Yeah, let's just entertain the idea. If there's an event that's coming up, or we can add this to an event. Like you said, this year would have been the perfect year for it. And I just was not elected fast enough there. So I apologize.
Do better next time.
Do better next time. So.
Mayor? Yes.
When's our art fair?
July 19th.
Sounds very
very patriotic and artsy, and
tie in a design a flag component to the art fair, and
maybe just for fun though, because if Dan said that other folks felt that how the state did their new flag was unfair, then us doing anything anywhere similarly remote to that would be unfair to our citizens. So in their perspective, not in reality or whatever. I saw your face here, but that's just...
Some kid is going to make this flag. And it's if we had a box sitting over at the Colburns, you know, to put your votes in, we count it up. And
it's a teddy bear with three legs? That's fine, yeah. I don't know.
You know, three-eyed fish from Simpsons? By all means, it's the flag for a year or something. Maybe that could be like a yearly... I'm trying to make it like a fun thing.
I guess we could do it in a different fashion. It doesn't have to be the flag. It could be just some sort of contest where the art is displayed within a city property or something. I don't know. Maybe we're getting a little too deep here.
Shannon, it'll go to Mark.
So I did way too much research on this flag thing. I am going to let you know. I mean, we have been up in arms about our state flag since 1893, with multiple changes throughout all of the years. Anyway, so if we end up rolling down a city flag, I think we're going to open up a big, big can of worms for this area, and it's going to start bringing more and more of the debate of new flag, traditional flag. I don't want to open up that can of worms. So if we're going to do any type of artsy thingy doodle, great. I love the idea because I love art. However, let's move it to a poster or something like that they could paint on a fire truck. I don't know. Just do something.
Snowplows, we did once.
Yeah, do the front of a snowplow. Whatever, you know, spray paint it on there. And then it comes off anyway because the salt and all that stuff. So I just don't think that would be a great idea with the heat between, the amount of articles I read, pro-traditional, pro-new. I don't want to see our city torn over having a flag thing, because we already got enough issues with flag things, I think, as a state. And then also, if you talk to a few residents about flags, then you go down another rabbit hole, and you should be having your smile on when you do. So I think traditional flag, my poll, and all of the things that I've done for this, I'm going to have to say, from the people that I spoke to on both sides of the fence, I had more people wanting the traditional flag to be flown in Ramsey versus the new flag in Ramsey. So for that amount of homework I did, I would have to side with keeping our traditional flag or getting rid of it. But it's just where I'm at.
Mark and then Michael, just because Mark might have some insight here.
Mayor, I would... strongly agree with some of the discussion here that if council wants staff to do something thematic or linked to or not linked to the art fair, that we keep it for fun, and it might be just that. It might be more of a poster line, or this is our symbology for 2025 or something like that. Because it could easily get controversial, and then I would remind council that when we adopted our sign plan as to what monuments would look like, it took us about 3.5 years to get consensus on council, just in terms of what the monuments look
like. Yeah. How many reads were going to be on the... Yeah. Michael?
Thank you. I was just curious. Did you actually take a flagpole?
Oh. Oh. Love it. A flagpole.
Because, like, it's like a flagpole, but, like, did you take a pole of the flags?
It's a pot.
No.
It was a dad joke. That's what
it goes. Dad joke. It was a really bad dad joke. I'm like, I'm
he was steaming.
So
he was
wanting
to get that out so
doing?
Bad.
Is that it? It's just
a
zinger.
Just a zinger.
All right, so it sounds like either we don't care or we lean traditional, so we'll stay with traditional. And then city flag, maybe just noodle around a fun little symbol or something.
Mayor, one idea, if you just allow staff to kind of work with it a little bit, I think it would be useful. Each year we have a theme for our art in the park. So with our concert nights, the 9 concerts we have on Thursday nights, we have art in the park for the children. It's skewed to like 6 to 12-year-old. We have a theme. We've done national park passports. Something like this would work really well with that. So we have different opportunities to replicate different thematic things in an artistic fashion, and it's for the children. So, how could it be controversial?
Religion, politics. Current events.
All right. On that, I think we're done. So move into topics for future discussion. Let's try to do this in about 9 minutes. We've got 5 minutes to make it back without rushing. So any sounds like Kirsten, you might have a topic for future discussion.
So I had thought about maybe, this is kind of maybe something outside of this space that we could all talk about, but I thought it would be fun for us to maybe do coffee with a council member for if people are interested. So like once a month we could all gather somewhere, have coffee, have constituents come in and speak to us, and potentially like have department heads come as guest speakers during those opportunities. It could be a discussion for this room if we're like maybe seeking to do it on city property, like potentially hosting it in one of these rooms where we just have coffee and people can come in. Or we could always do it at the Caribou or something, but I thought that'd be a nice way for us to have open dialogue with our citizens. I think a lot of us use that as like a platform during our campaigns to make sure that we could get in touch with people pretty easily. And then I also wanted to talk about us moving into the space of potentially doing a municipal dispensary or just at least expanding the amount of allowable private dispensaries in our community, talking about if there's any appetite for us investing in the old town hall to create some sort of heritage site that we could have historic, other things historic related to that. Could be like something that people stop in cities and check out. Prevailing wages policy, I think it's something that we could do to make sure that there's enforcement mechanisms for folks coming in to do all the construction as we're growing very quick. And something that I'd shared this with Brian before time, but he said that maybe this will just kind of naturally happen, but I thought it would be nice to carve out quarterly time for the police department and the fire department to come to us with like the 5 W's of who, what, where, when, why, of like operational needs, challenges, future planning, things like that, as well as talk about the committees on the outside that we are going to, that could potentially impact us internally.
All right. So, with the amount of time we have and then some of the other things that we have on the future topic list, that's a good list. I appreciate the forethought. But Brian, on that, what's the best practice for, because obviously these lists fill up very fast. So what's the best practice for either agreeing to these things being on the list, or at what, how do you put those on while splitting up kind of the workload a little bit?
Yeah, so kind of ties right in with the earlier discussion on, one council member has ideas and looking for support from others, whether it's now or separate emails. So, if council says yes, no, yes, yes, etc., we'll put them on the list. And then I think what would be helpful is to also prioritize this. Some of these might be quick discussions, easy to knock off. Some might be more in-depth. But I guess look to prioritize them. And then some of them could just tie in nicely with strategic planning, which we'll be doing here in the next month or so. But like Historic Town Hall, for example, I know that's been a passion from some members, and it's just it hasn't really amounted to anything, but yet it's kind of been, hey, we should do something, and kind of loses its muster a little bit. So some of these can get tied into that.
Yeah, and I would also state that I think if you, and for anybody else who has things that want to get added on, if you prioritize those, then we can add them to the work session. And if there's something that you feel is very important that should be addressed with it, like let's say you say, I think prevailing wage needs to be addressed in the next month, then maybe it's not fair to expect it on the work session, but maybe it is fair to have talked to another council member and have it added to the agenda so that way we can discuss it outside of the work session in public without the time constraints that we have here. So I guess I would say prioritize. We'll try to fit them on the best we can, and if there's something that can't wait, then I would look for somebody else to add it to the agenda and then make it an actual.
But you want me to prioritize these?
Well, for you and for anybody who has things. So if I have three things I want, because we all have to share the working session, essentially.
Yeah.
So
I guess this is more of like, is anyone interested in doing these things? I know that Shanna had agreed that she was interested in some of the cannabis stuff previously.
From a business standpoint.
Yeah.
And then I changed my mind.
Okay, that's fair. But I don't know if I need to prioritize if it's not even an interest of other people. And my priority is not anyone else's priority per se. And so I'm wondering, I mean, we all, most of us have, we all have 2 to 4 years left, right? Like, it's not like something that needs to happen this second. None of these things are emergent. These are just thoughts that I had that would be of interest for us to discuss. And if people are interested, then I can do more research. I already sent over a prevailing wages language document to Brian. So we have language, if we are interested in that, drafted. But I know Brian also mentioned that before, that he doesn't necessarily want something drafted from us, that the city staff would rather draft things, or else I would be more than happy to draft things on these.
I think that makes sense. So yeah, I think if I were you, if I had a list, which I'll have some things I want to talk about later on, I would prioritize them. We can see how they can fall onto the list, and then if there's something that needs to be talked about urgently, I think we all kind of heard a few of the things we want to talk about. If any of us are interested in creating an agenda item, reach out to Kirsten, and we can add it on, and that way we can get addressed.
Okay, so just to clarify, I do tell Brian if I want something on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So when I sent something to you earlier, Brian, I just want to, like, know, like,
The working session or on the main agenda?
I don't want things like on the main agenda before I feel like we've had a chance to talk about it here.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, I'm just saying if it's not urgent and Brian has a list and you kind of prioritize them.
I'll revert back. I view the work session and the regular agenda the same.
Yeah.
When Kirsten sends me something, or Shanna or Eric,
okay,
or any one of you says, hey, I want this on the agenda, I don't want staff putting in a bunch of time to put a case together and research if it's going to come and you guys say no.
Yeah.
So from a work session topic standpoint, I would say 2 council members at a minimum supporting that, getting on as well. Or, like, now, bring it up and you guys as a group go, yeah, no, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, which is why I brought it up now.
Perfect. Mike?
I like the idea of voting on yeah, no. But I'd like to have the list in front of me so I can look at it ahead of time. So if you maybe want to just send out the list of ideas that people want to have, we can all digest it, and then at the work session we can say, yeah, no.
Do you want me to do that? Like, I could write the list, and then I could provide some, like, additional information, so then it doesn't take any time for Brian. But I guess I can't send it to all. Can I send it to all 5?
So
no. That's where we get
how about
trouble.
This? If you guys, anyone has a list of items, send it to me, and we'll just add it as a second attachment.
Okay.
Councilmember so-and-so's desired future topic.
And if you look at that list, and you say, I like that too, reach out to the person to be the second, and then have it added.
Okay.
Deal? Well,
that makes sense.
Perfect.
All right. Anything else? If not,
there's one quick update. Last meeting we talked about the expungement aspect of Eckberg Lambert. Did I say that right?
Eckberg Lammers.
Lammers. We did have a meeting with them and the Attorney General's office, and ultimately at the end of the day it was a little bit of miscommunication, so we don't need to address anything on it. they're going to work with the Attorney General's office on expungements, and yeah, it kind of solved itself. And then I'll note the boards and commission interviews are coming up. We typically hold those the third Tuesday in March, so March 18th. It coincides with a Public Works Committee meeting. I can send out another email if you guys want, but go home, see if that works for you that night. If it doesn't, let me know, and we can find a different date. But,
a lot of us have calendars on our phones now, too, not just at home on the wall.
It
definitely doesn't work for my calendar. I'll
just
tell you that.
So, but keep that in mind. March 18th would be, in essence, a special city council meeting after those interviews.
So that we can get
appointed for April start.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If it works for us, can you just assume if we don't say anything to you, it works? And if it doesn't work for us, then we'll reach out to you?
Yes.
All right. We will adjourn.
Hey, Brian, that's funny. I shared our EDA post on the community site. Facebook took it down for violating standards. Our EDA post.
I thought they weren't doing that anymore.
I don't know. Just kind of funny.
What did it violate?
The Business Expo is approaching on Saturday, May 3rd from 9 to 11 at Adorno the Sports. Took it down.
Just let you know we all got.
Is that because of that?
Well, it's because you attached your Venmo link.
I don't know.
Is that? Do you think it's really?